All right. Welcome to Motivational Monday. Here we are, and we are focusing on the word follow. The word is follow. And we are taking that word from Mark chapter 10, and here's the verse. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, which again, folks, means teacher. So this person's recognizing Jesus as teacher. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Now, folks, this is a very short verse, not much to go on, but I think you'll understand the meaning here if I can unpack a little bit about the name Bartimaeus. It's a name that you don't typically hear, right? Well, according to Strong's Concordance, the name Bartimaeus is derived from two Aramaic words, bar, meaning son of, and tame, which is meaning unclean or defiled. So the meaning of the name is son of the unclean. And the name as it appears in the New Testament is the name in Greek loaned from those two Aramaic words indicated from the reading. So the name Bartimaeus may not have been the man's real or original name, but a name given him by the people of the city to identify him or his blindness is the product of defilement or uncleanness. Again, his sin being cast away or set apart. And apparently, Bartimaeus is the only name given of anyone that Jesus healed. And he healed a whole lot of people whose names aren't mentioned. So that means the name probably has high importance for the story. And if we consider the Aramaic meaning of the name, it could be suggesting that Jesus was willing to heal someone that had been identified as unclean or defiled, much as he did when healing some lepers or other people that were considered to be unclean. There's nothing apart from the meaning of this name, Bartimaeus, in the story that suggests that the blind man was unclean. We're only getting that from the root of his name. But folks, here's the thing. Time and time again, whatever boundary line was drawn by the world's story or their way of understanding the world, their worldview, Jesus would step across that line. Jesus would restory the situation and change the outcome. And this is so powerful because Jesus is not approaching Bartimaeus as the world does, as unclean. He's simply coming alongside him as a fellow person of God. And Jesus wants to move him to full life. Every encounter with Jesus, with God, is moving people to life. But we are so focused in our world around cultures of death and destruction and of tearing things down that we miss the mark on this. We then put that on God, that God's seeking your destruction, that God's taking you away, that God is causing death. No, that's part and parcel for the world, and that's part and parcel for our lives. We're weak and we're vulnerable, and bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to all people. It just is. But for Bartimaeus to have this name meaning unclean, obviously the world wanted to separate him out for good reason, or so they thought. And Jesus, not afraid of that name, not afraid of his condition, draws close and brings him healing and wholeness and moves him to life. What if we were doing that in every situation in our world? What could the world look like when it comes to issues of racism and classism and all the ways that we separate people out, where we don't have access for everyone, where we don't create mutuality at the table, right? But there's Jesus doing it time and time and time again, which is a really big deal because I've taught this before. I hope you remember this. If Jesus is touching someone who's unclean. What does that mean for Jesus? It means that he too becomes unclean, that he too is maimed by the world standards, that he cannot draw close to people, so that when people look upon Jesus from village to village, they too would be casting him out, holding him at arm's distance, shouting in his direction, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. Well, in this story too, Jesus says to this man, go, your faith has made you well. But the faith is not an abstract faith. It's not just a random hope. As we heard, he called out to Jesus as rabbi. He's recognizing his messiahship, his lordship in this man's life. He already has been drawing close, paying attention to, wanting more of this Jesus. And so he's living into this Jesus message, this Jesus story, this Jesus way of life. His faith is into Christ and who Christ is. And so Jesus is drawing that faith out of him. Jesus is moving him back into community because he's going to need that in order to go out and restore his community and his family in this one who made him well. Well, this call to follow Jesus, so important, and you're called to be those disciples of Jesus. You each have a story and often have to restory into Jesus what he's seeking from you. And so we pray this prayer now. God of the journey in the waters of baptism, you call us into fellowship with you and to the lifelong work of following Christ your Son all along the way. Inspire us to live as disciples of Christ in all aspects of our life, in all aspects of our life, in all aspects of our life, and assure us in moments of doubt, because we have doubt. Is this really the way? What if I'm wrong? We'll invigorate our senses so that we might see, hear, touch, taste, and smell the goodness of the world that you created as we are able. The call, God, is to discipleship is never easy, but you promise to be with us every step of the way. So God be praised. God be praised. May our faith into Jesus make us well. Well, let's hear these words and this testimony that I think can help inspire us to think deeply on how we walk as Jesus' disciples in the world.
As I look back over my life, I remember several moments when I felt God calling me. I felt God calling me to stay and be a part of the change on my college campus after a racist incident completely shattered my world. I felt God calling me to pastoral ministry while I was studying abroad in South Africa, even though at the time I did not want to be a pastor. I felt God calling me to come back home to Chicago, despite my best efforts to stay away. God is constantly calling me, and I always say yes. But every time, I marvel at my naivete, because I never have any idea of the joys and sorrows that will come as a result of my yes to God's call. Reflecting on my own life story reminds me of Bartimaeus' story in Mark. Although our stories are slightly different. Unlike Bartimaeus, I am never searching for Jesus and hoping he will pass my way. But like Jesus found Bartimaeus outside of Jericho, Jesus always finds me, extending the same invitation each time, the call to follow him. However, unlike Bartimaeus, who was made to see before he followed Christ, whenever I say yes to Jesus, my path is not illuminated, but rather becomes obscure and uncertain. The lessons learned from Bartimaeus' story and my story are the same. First, to answer yes to the call of discipleship is to choose the path of discomfort, the harder way, the narrow road. The cost of discipleship is high, as it may cost you family, friends, financial stability, or even your life. Second, it is a blind choice we make, for we have no idea what will happen as a result of our decision. In answering Jesus' call, you will experience the greatest joys of your life and also become well acquainted with sorrow. Lastly, Bartimaeus' story reminds us that above all else, our first call is always to be disciples, followers, and learners of Christ. You may feel called to go to a certain school, pursue a specific profession, move to a different city, or even marry a particular person. But the first call of Jesus is always the same. We are all called to be disciples and invited to a deep and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We all must answer this call. What will your response be?
What will our response be to Jesus' call upon our life? Well, for you today, what are examples of both joys and sorrows connected to your callings? Because they both exist, and many other emotions too. What examples do you have of both joys and sorrows connected to your callings? What qualities of your own do you think are most important to your calling as a disciple, and why? What fears or conflicting responsibilities are holding you back from living fully into your call to discipleship? What fears or responsibilities are holding you back from living fully into your call of discipleship? And remember, to follow Jesus is to live into the way that he lives his life. Yes, to follow Jesus is to live into the way that he lives his life. And so in what ways are you already mirroring that way of life? And in what ways do you long to grow? Because growth, we're called to growth, lifelong growth, not learned, but lifelong learners, until our very last breath upon this earth, always open to God's leanings and leadings in our life. Yes, you are called to follow. All right, good day.